Welcome to the Routing for Success podcast, the show where we interview today's top logistics professionals, giving them a platform to share their stories and best practices. I'm your host, Jake Hirsch, joined by Emily Blair. In today's episode, we interview two 20-year FedEx veterans who are dominating the delivery industry. Joining us today out of Logan, Utah, are Rick and Mel Klein, who own three P&D businesses and one line haul business. Rick and Mel have been running Express Volume since June 1st of 2023, and in this episode, we discuss how to choose the right partners in business and dive deep into the secrets of their success in taking over Express.
This episode is brought to you by AP Equipment Financing. AP Equipment Financing can bring you the best deals on step vans, panel vans, cutaways, and more, deliver them straight to your facility, and finance them with low monthly installment options. Click the link in the description to this episode or visit apfinancing.com.
All right. Hey, Rick and Mel, how are you?
Good.
Good.
Good. Good. So I wanted to start us off with a question. What relationship do you need to be the most careful in getting into? A business partner, a marriage, or a hunting partner?
All three, I guess.
Yeah, D, all the above.
So I know that you guys have four different entities with four different business partners. What are you looking for when getting into a business partnership?
I think what's most important is, for me, it's been pretty easy because the guys I'm business partners with, they were my drivers at one time and I trained them. And I mean, when I hire somebody, I basically tell them, this isn't just a driving FedEx job. It's, you can work your way up and become a contractor if that's what you want, and I'll help you get into it. And that's basically what I've done. There has been a couple times where there was three of us in a partnership. I mean, this is just an example of what not to do. And, this guy would get a hold of the company credit card and it was bad for the other two guys. So, I mean, we basically bought this guy out and now it's back running smooth again. But for the most part, in my partnerships, I know who I'm dealing with because I'm the one that trained them.
Wow.
See, for me, I'm looking for honesty. I need someone who's going to shoot straight and communicate with me because there's so many moving parts in this that if we can't be honest when we're aggravated or something's bothering us or something's not working, it easily falls apart. So those two things are just really important for me.
Rick, I just wanted to clarify, you mentioned when you had three partners that it became an issue. Was it because there were three or was it specifically because of the one individual that was using the credit card for personal expenses?
It was one person. I mean, we're partnership with another. There's three of us in another one with Reliable. And I mean, that business is running smooth.
Got it. Makes sense. And were there any other red flags leading up to when you discovered that he was using that credit card? I mean, maybe in hindsight, you know, sometimes it's easier to see those. Was there anything that you could advise others to be looking for?
Just be aware of the money management, basically. I mean, your expenses and receipts.
Yeah. And even as an individual, their personal spending habits, because that reflects through the business. So maybe, or personality-wise, someone who's a little bit more laid back and tends to wait to the last moment on things, those two things definitely make a difference in a partnership.
So that's pretty wild. At what point did you realize that he was using the company card for whatever expenses it sounds like you guys weren't authorizing?
First couple of weeks.
Yeah, first couple of weeks.
Wow. Oh, first couple of weeks.
First couple of weeks, we had to reel him in.
Whoa. And how long did that partnership last?
What, about a year?
No, it was about 2 years.
Yeah, about 2 years, I guess.
So that's a long time.
The entire time it was managing and watching and kind of a micromanaged kind of a situation.
Well, and what actually happened with that business is, I mean, we had an offer to sell that business. And when Mel looked at the numbers, she was like, you know what? Why don't you guys buy the third partner out? and keep it because it's going to be better off for us. And so I talked with my other partner and that's what we ended up doing.
When you guys are bringing on drivers and you said that you pitch to them when they come on, hey, you guys are going to have the opportunity to grow within our business. You know, you might be a manager later on, or you might be a manager and then later on an owner. How are you creating that split? Are you doing 50-50? Are you doing 51-49? Is there a set structure that you guys have laid in place that you follow every single time, or does it differ with each manager?
It depends. Each business is different. Each situation is different. I mean, in today's world, nobody can really come up with the money. So I'm getting into these partnerships and I'm basically carrying them. And it all depends on how you draw it up. I mean, these ones that there's just two, I mean, the end goal is to be 50-50 on it. But like where I'm carrying the money, a lot of times, you know, it's set up 49-51 type deal. Cause I mean, I want to make sure that I don't lose anything.
Well, in the beginning, we set it up where Rick had the majority of the sharehold. So if anything did go wrong, he had the majority of the decision-making and things like that to kind of help financially protect himself. And then as things were paid down, then we'd go ahead and update those amounts of share. But I think in the partnership and when we're hiring our managers and letting them know the sky's the limit, the choice is also theirs. Do they want to be a partner or do they just want to buy out and run it all completely by themselves? Because we've done both of those.
And Mal, if I can ask you, are you part owner in any of these businesses?
I am not. I'm technically not listed on anything.
She runs all of the businesses.
I can tell that. I can tell that. And so I think it's an interesting thing to discuss because I know it's something that new contractors often consider when it's a husband-wife team, when you're going to be running the business together. Can I ask what drove your decision not to have Mal as an owner?
I don't think we ever discussed it. It started out kind of as his business, but after a few years, I realized where I had the bookkeeping and accounting experience that if I wasn't involved, you know, and didn't understand what was going on, because FedEx is kind of its own beast. And so if you don't understand the lingo and understand the dynamic, then you're kind of at a loss. And so my involvement just kind of gradually came in as it is, but I am listed as, you know, a secretary or a point of contact on the business, but to make it less, I guess, legally hairy, just having him listed on there is good. And then for us personally, I mean, we have that all taken care of.
Yeah, it's set up in the background where something were to happen that she basically takes over what I've got going on.
We have a family trust that kind of takes care of it on that end, but that eliminates having one more shareholder or having our partners feel like it's unfair if the two of us are in there and it's not feeling like an uneven type situation.
That makes a lot of sense. Thank you for sharing that.
The big elephant in the room right now on the contractor forums, or I guess it's not even an elephant in the room. People are talking very openly about it. On contractor forums, we've touched on it briefly on previous podcasts with Ryan Macris as the host, is Ground and P&D taking over Express, which in your terminal, you have already taken over Express. How long have you guys been running Express packages?
Since the 1st of June. We were the second or third terminal in the nation to take this on.
Cool. So a lot of contractors are taking over the 1st of June, 2024, and have a ton of questions. So what was that like for you in the first weeks leading up to June 1st, 2023 takeover? And what was it like maybe 3 weeks after the takeover?
I mean, everybody heard that, you know, FedEx is changing and that we're taking Express. And I mean, I got with my guys, my BCs, and I just said, hey, what are we going to do with this thing? You know, it's going to be, nobody really likes change, but it's we got to deal with it. And I mean, I've done this long enough and I've had my guys long enough where, I mean, we could, anything that's thrown at us, we can deal with it. And when I, when I went to these guys and said, hey, what's our plan of attack here? They're like, well, we're going to have these time commits. And in my area, I mean, some of these guys out of the terminal, they have 10:30 time commits. And I've got noon time commits in my area is the earliest that we have to do. And I mean, we pick up about 100 express packages a day, roughly average. And I don't know, 15 or 20 of those are the time commits before noon. And we thought, you know what, let's go ahead and add a truck, add a resource. So we added a truck and a driver. I mean, in my area right now, we were running 4 trucks without express. And so we added a 5th truck. And running those 5 trucks, I mean, it was really easy for us. And I had some guys out there that were working 4 hours a day. And in FedEx's eyes, you know, you can't work 4 hours a day because they're going to tell you you're not efficient. And so we went back down to 4 trucks, and we were making it work with 4 trucks. And I still had a couple guys that were six and a half. And I thought, you know what? My BC came up with the idea. He goes, let's see if we can do it with 3 trucks and knock out another truck and just basically be more efficient than FedEx wants us to be. So we did that for a week, and all my guys wanted to quit. And he's like, hey, if this is the new FedEx way and this is how efficient they want you to be, and they want you to, cause my guys were out there 8, 9, 10 hours. And I had one truck with 250 stops on it. I mean, that's, you just can't run that way. So we went back down to 4 trucks, and that's basically the sweet spot for us. And in the meetings that I've had with corporate FedEx, and they basically look at the numbers and say, yeah, you're running right where you should be. And sometimes you're beating our numbers. So, yeah, I mean that. So before Express came, I mean, everybody's freaking out about it. We added a truck, and it took us about 3, you're going to have to tweak things. I mean, mm-hmm. It took us 3 or 4 weeks to tweak things, but we're basically right where we need to be with the 4 trucks.
And I think not being afraid to try different things, because we've come to find in the terminal now, it's not about efficiency, it's about the time. But each one of the businesses are so completely different that what is working for one is not working for the other. So there's been all sorts of experimenting and trying and changing. And it's not just a one-time thing. We find something that works and we stick with that. They're continually trying to fix things and change things. So I know on the time leading up to it, we were only given maybe a 6 to 8 week notice. And then we had to negotiate our costs in this time and try to work that out as well. And so then in the weeks after, again, transitioning to try to meet the time commits. I know with some of these other businesses, DRO has been the link for them.
So I wanted to circle back around to something that you said. You mentioned that when there are late dispatches with the express packages, you guys do your normal P&D dispatch. You're out for an hour or two. And then you have the 2 closest trucks circle back around to the terminal, get the express packages, meet the other trucks out somewhere, and do like an unofficial dispatch to those other trucks.
Correct. That's exactly what we do. We basically just, there's a rendezvous point in the middle. They call each other and be like, hey, meet me at this location. I'll meet you there. They transfer their express packages. And that way they don't have to come all the way back to the terminal, and it saves 15, 20 minutes.
What do you think that, so I'm assuming those routes are super dense with, I think before you said there was 250 or so on a truck. How many miles are they going with that 200 to 250 stops?
Well, when we had 250 stops, that's when we were running 3 trucks. I mean, my trucks right now are probably heaviest truck is 160, 170. And those two trucks that come back, they are the more dense trucks. They have the most stops in them because they're in Smithfield. And my other two trucks that are out, they're farther away from the terminal. It's more rural. So they just kind of meet a halfway point and meet up and give those two other trucks their express.
Have you found that you've been generally able to deliver with your time commits? Have you had problems getting there by time commits?
Running it the way we're running it now with four trucks, we don't really have an issue with that. I know that when we went down to three trucks trying to tweak it to become more efficient, I had some days where my guys were saying, hey, I delivered the last package at 11:59 and I was doing like 40 through a neighborhood when it's 25 miles an hour. You're like, it's ridiculous. I mean, it really makes it unsafe for one. So it's like, okay, let's change it. You know, everybody wants to quit. You guys, it's not safe. Because everybody knows if you miss that time commit, then that's just money out of their contractor's pocket.
Well, and I think the biggest problem we've had with those is when something gets misloaded on a truck, because you don't get any grace time for that one. And again, we have to meet a 98.5% successful delivery a week to be able to make our express pay. And so for us, with where we don't have as many as others, that really is one or two deliveries a week. So with that, I mean, it's a crazy mad race when that happens.
And I know that you mentioned that you have 12 o'clock is your first commit time. Are there express drivers still running earlier commits in your area? Or is it just 12 o'clock is the first express commit in your area?
No, people out of Logan, they have 10:30s. So like this morning when we had a late arrival for our express, normally they show up around 8:30. This morning it was closer to 9. And I think that if they don't have us out of the terminal by 9, I think it's 9:45. Then we're exempt of the 10:30s. It just makes it impossible. Some of those Logan trucks have 30 or 40 10:30s on their truck. And that's a lot. I mean.
Is that an exemption that you have to submit to FedEx, or are they aware of that and they automatically apply it?
They basically, I think they told us that if it's 9:45 and we get you guys out of here at 9:45, your 10:30s are exempt.
Okay. And this might be a dumb question, so forgive me for asking, but Express is going to come in on an airplane to somewhere. How is it getting from the airplane to you?
It's a line haul express truck that brings it.
Okay.
There are express packages, and Express has a line haul truck that they, when they come in, they actually come in on these pods from the airport, and they wheel them in and unload the pods, and that's how we get our packages.
Okay, so there's definitely multiple legs where those packages can pretty easily get delayed to you. So definitely a challenge.
And with that, so this is slightly off topic, but not quite. So with your line haul areas, are you taking over FedEx freight as well on your line haul side of things?
No.
Do you know if that's coming down the pipeline?
Maybe. I mean, I haven't heard anything about that, but right now we're just doing the ground stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised though. They've tried to consolidate everything. They've changed it just FedEx One. So it falls all under one thing. I wouldn't be surprised if that eventually.
I mean, we've heard rumors of that, this new terminal that we just got into last year. It's huge. And they were saying that, you know, there's enough room for possible freight and for ground and FedEx One or whatever they call it for everybody to operate out of one building. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Right now, it's just they're combining express and ground, and in our terminal, we're probably 90% right now of the express. And I think, what is it? Is it in June or something? We're supposed to take it all over.
Yeah, I heard in June, but I'm waiting to see if they're requiring training for all that extra hazmat. They haven't.
Because right now there's still about 7 or 8 FedEx Express trucks in our terminal dispatching with us, but they're doing the hazmat stuff and the international stuff, and eventually we're taking all of that over. So, but yeah.
overall, would you say that as far as profitability for your contract, has Express really made a difference in either direction?
I feel like it's negatively impacted it. In the beginning, the numbers that they provided us weren't even accurate. So the problem that we're having a lot of times on their projections is they were counting so the contract with FedEx and Express is you get paid for each timed stop, but if there's multiple packages, then you only get paid the one for the stop. So when they were giving us all these projections and all of our numbers, they were counting every package as an individual stop. And we found in the majority of the businesses, those numbers were 30% off. So we had amped up for extra that we weren't actually getting. So yeah, that's been an issue. And then with some of the businesses in town with all the 1030 time commits, it varies when they get to leave each day. And so he's got to plan the night before how much goes on each truck. And if something comes in after that, he's just kind of SOL in the morning trying to shift and figure it out. And so financially, it's negatively impacted most of the businesses because it's requiring more resources than what FedEx considers to be efficient. And so it's been a really kind of a really difficult situation trying to figure it all out.
So as far as more money goes, we basically absorbed it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's frustrating because, everybody knows that it costs more money to send an overnight package than an express package. And I mean, I'm sure every contractor out there, you see a 20-pound express package coming down the belt, and you know it costs $200 to ship it, and you're getting $2 of that. It's ridiculous.
And also, we're not as efficient as we used to be. We're stopping and running and changing directions, and so it's taking longer. And FedEx is not, from what I've seen, really been able to accept that. They're looking at the most efficient way, and so when all of our scores are based off of performance, it's really hard to be efficient when you can't be efficient. It's time or efficiency. So it's been an impact trying to add extra resources we're not getting paid for, but it's been impossible to run without.
So. Mel, you said it's taking longer. How much longer per route is it taking on average for each driver?
Here's the problem is it's probably not taking any longer. We've had to add resources. I know some of them, you have to be back to the terminal by a certain time for them to be able to get the packages out the door and back to the plane. And so we're having to add those resources because now we used to be able to dispatch at 7 a.m. and now we can't dispatch till 9, but we have to be done and back by 4:30. And so we're having to kind of make up the difference and add those resources because it's not really possible where we could send a driver out for a longer day. So
do you ever, in going back to the terminal, do you ever have to take the packages back to the terminal and then send the driver back out after doing the evening drop-off?
We try to avoid that. I think FedEx had really leaned into that and suggested very heavily, but it's really kind of difficult where you're already in those areas, you're already delivering, and a lot of times you have an express delivery going there. And so some of our drivers do that, or we try to stagger where maybe we have a sweeper, one of our drivers goes around and gets all the pickups, and he's the one who heads back with all the pickups and everybody else stays out. So, on those drivers that we do that, they're probably working an extra hour more than they were before, possibly.
That's kind of how we run things now, is with my four trucks that go out, we pretty much alternate who's going to do the pickups that day, because my guys are veterans. A lot of these guys will get done at 3:30, 4 o'clock, sometimes even earlier than that. And instead of waiting around for an hour, hour and a half, we just have one guy stay out. And so one guy doesn't get stuck doing the pickups every day. We kind of rotate it amongst the four of them. And that's how we get the packages back to the terminal.
Yeah. And if you were a contractor that had a 10:30 cutoff for Express, and I know you said FedEx lets you off the hook at 9:45, but even if you're dispatched a little later at 9:30, that's still a tight window. Mm-hmm. So for the contractors that are going to have that 10:30 time, what would you recommend to them if they typically dispatch later than 9:30.
They have to run another truck. There's no getting around it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to, I mean, yeah, it makes it not efficient, but if you miss your time commits and you don't make your 98.5 on the express, then you lose that express money for the whole week. And especially as small as we are with four trucks, if one of my guys miss a noon time commit, all it takes is for one missed time commit. I lose that money for the whole week.
You lose really the one package, the whole, all of express money, or just the single package express money?
You get paid a certain amount for each time delivery express stop that you do, but you have to meet a 98.5% window for the week. And for us, because we don't have as many, literally one stop could drop us below that 98%.
Wow.
And so we lose the entire express money. And the problem is most of these businesses, we rely on that. It's not extra money or an addition. We depend on that to pay our drivers, to pay our bills. And so, some of our in town with 10:30, the biggest thing is at night he's trying his best to make sure he's finding this balance on DRO to assign just the right express stops to the trucks. And then depending on when it comes in the morning, it is a pain and it's a hassle. Sometimes he's having to take some back off because they just don't have the time. So it's really become a balancing act that he has had to work with on a day-to-day basis and be willing to have the flexibility the next morning as well when it doesn't come in on time.
Well, and a perfect example of that is there was a contractor that was, we sold some area to a new contractor, and he gets into this, and his 1030s, I mean, he had a ton of 1030s, and he wasn't making money. He was actually losing money. And I mean, this guy, he's actually a friend of mine, and he's like, he's a businessman, and he basically went to FedEx and said, look, if I keep dropping below the 98.5 because of you guys, and and he just said, I've got to have more solid income, more, it can't be a bonus type situation. I need that money to run my business, and you guys are using it to take away, and I'm losing money. And he's like, if this is how it's going to be, then just come take this stuff that I just bought because I can't run this way. Mm-hmm. And so they basically, and then they restructured stuff and been like, okay, well, they basically gave him some more money. And, but it's frustrating. I mean, there's no getting around it. The express ground merger, it's frustrating. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be frustrating for everybody who does it.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think financially they've restructured it three times in this last year that we've been running it. We aren't even at a full year yet, and they've restructured the pay on it three separate times.
Has any of those changes improved it for you? Has it gotten better, or is it staying the same or getting worse?
The first one was pretty decent, and then quite quickly they changed that to something that wasn't as official.
It improved it enough to where this guy sold out already, and he's already gone.
He left.
Oh, after wow. 1 year.
We just went through negotiations, and we were one of the first ones with this new format that they're supposed to be doing that's integrating more of the express pay. And so for us, they took away a lot of the potential loss. So they lowered our express amount a lot, but they kind of added in a lot more stable guaranteed money. And so we take that over in a couple weeks and we'll see how it goes. But the numbers look a lot better than where we were previously. So we're hoping that this works.
So we're, I don't know what time we're nearing since we've had some technical difficulties on the podcast, but I know we're nearing an hour mark. So I want to be respectful of your time. But we have three questions that we are starting to ask every contractor that we have on. They are called the world famous three to thrive in FedEx. And the first one is, what was one of the most worthwhile investments that you've made in your FedEx business?
Uh, one of the most worthwhile investments?
Could be time, could be money, could be a driver that you hired.
I think for me, what's made it worth it for me is, I mean, you can have a job where you punch the 9 to 5 every day, or you can have something where you run it yourself. And I think that's been the best for us is, I mean, we take pride in what we do, even though we don't agree with a lot of the stuff that FedEx comes out with. But, just the opportunity to have something where you can run it yourself, and like the crew that we have right now, and be able to work along guys that I trust and run things how I used to back when I was in a truck every day.
See, for me, I think our biggest investment is we have a BC that manages and helps run a lot of that, even though technically we're not at a size where FedEx allows a BC pay. He's also in a truck. But for me, having that investment of having an extra resource for me to go to, you know, to help manage things on the day to day, you really can't have a one person fits all. I don't know how the AO is supposed to do the accounting and the delivering, because they're in a truck, and then all of the managing. And so for me, I think our biggest investment, you know, was having a BC set up and managing.
I love that. That's great. Thank you. Second question. Oftentimes failure in business can be the best teacher. Do you have a favorite failure, and what did you learn from it?
Which one?
Well, we've had lots of failures, actually.
Top three, whatever you want to give us.
I think when it comes down to this business, it's pretty basic for me, because when I got into this, one of the managers I was talking to, he's like, this is really basic. And every contractor that does this knows this. I mean, you got to have a backup to a backup to a backup plan. And I mean, one of the worst times for us was, I mean, we had a driver that was going through a divorce, and he parked the truck and left. And this was back when we were first starting out, and I actually had Mel. I mean, she was my backup driver. She was the bottom of the barrel. And when he walked away, I was in a truck that day, and there's no way I could have done two routes. I mean, and she got in a truck without ever being in there, and we got it done. But now it's structured to where you have your managers and assistants and BCs, and it's just the thing now. I mean, FedEx, they are tightening things up, and their favorite word is you're not efficient. So, I mean, a lot of these smaller businesses like mine, they look at me like, well, you're, in order to be efficient and make money, you have to be in a truck every day. And it's like, anybody knows you can't be in a truck and run this type of business the way FedEx wants you to run it and be in the truck. That's what's frustrating.
But a huge benefit is making sure that we have a backup to a backup that's never changed. So, and it's regardless of the financial that FedEx, you know, says that they're giving you or not, it's just protecting ourselves.
Cool. And our last question of the three to thrive is, what is your favorite part about being a FedEx contractor?
Getting to talk to Jake every...
Hey, that's what's up. I'll send you your check.
Yeah. Just like I've said before, I mean, the pride that we take in running our own thing.
Owning our own business, being able, you know, even though we have limited control over some of those things, but knowing that we've built this and that we're helping our community, we're helping, you know, support other families. And yeah, I take a lot of pride in that, you know, regardless of what FedEx's standards are, he's always at 100%. I don't know how many years he's at a daily 100%. I take a lot of pride in that, you know, of setting his own standards. So, and it shows, it reflects amongst all the drivers, all the other businesses that try to compete with him. And it's made kind of a little fun competition there for a while of seeing who could, you know, get 100% service for the day. And So I take a lot of pride in that.
Cool. That's awesome. Emily, do you have anything else?
I don't. You guys have been amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your experiences with us. This has been great.
So rad. You guys did incredible. I'm so grateful that you both were our first guest. I know I've been talking to you guys for so long, calling you basically since I started working here, and it was an honor, and you guys did an incredible job, and I think this information is super valuable for any contractor, or I guess all contractors that are taking over Express on June 1st.
Yeah, I tell them just have patience and try. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to fail. Give everything a try. You might find what works for you, might not work for someone else. So patience.
Awesome advice.
Incredible. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks, Jake. Thanks, Emily.
Routing for Success is brought to you by AP Equipment Financing. In today's competitive market, it is essential to acquire the right trucks at a fair price and finance them in a way that makes sense for your business. Leveraging their extensive network of truck and van suppliers, the experts at AP Equipment Financing will help you locate the best deals on step vans, cutaways, panel vans, and more. Deliver them straight to your facility and finance them with low monthly installment options. Click the link in the description or visit apfinancing.com for more information. Routing for Success is an independent production of AP Equipment Financing and is in no way affiliated with or endorsed by FedEx Corporation, FedEx Ground, Amazon, or any other logistics company discussed herein. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Routing for Success.